Genesis in chapter number 2, and I'm excited today to begin a brand new series entitled Marriage on the Rock. And I was thinking, while we were away and these things were developing in our culture and society, I cannot think of a better time to just park and spend several weeks on the topic of marriage than right now. And we need strong marriages in our country, and we need our children to want to emulate what God has given to us from His Word. And so we're going to spend time on that for several weeks without apology in this new series, and asking God to help us have a marriage that is built on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and designing our dream marriage around God's plan according to His Word. Now, sometimes in premarital counseling, I'll tell couples that marriage is like a midnight phone call. You get a ring and then you wake up. And sometimes it is that way in our lives as well, that it's maybe not what we thought it would be in some respects. A husband and wife were having an argument, and finally, out of sheer frustration, the husband just blurted out, "Honey, I don't know why God made you so beautiful and yet so stupid all at the same time." Now, he should not have said that, but the woman stared at her husband, collected her thoughts, and said, "Well, God made me so beautiful so you would love me, and God made me so stupid so I could love you." And that couple was in need of the His Design class for sure. Now, I want to preface this series with drawing our attention to the fact that there are some things that our marriage was never intended to accomplish. Sometimes frustration in the relationship of husband and wife can surface simply because we are trying to get something from our spouse that was never intended to be met in our life by our spouse. We are seeking our spouse to accomplish something in us that only God can do. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:4 in your notes, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." The entire thesis of this series that we're embarking upon today is marriage on the rock. And we're reminded this morning that that rock is Jesus Christ. And our relationship must be built on the rock of Jesus Christ and according to the Word of God. And there are some needs in our lives that were not meant to be met by our spouse, but simply by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's four basic needs I'm thinking of when I say that. That first of all is acceptance, knowing that you are loved and needed by others. Secondly, identity, knowing you are individually significant and special. Thirdly, security, knowing you are well protected and provided for. And fourthly, purpose, knowing God has a special plan for your life. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." This is not something you and I are to be finding met in anyone else, not our spouse, not our children, not our career or place in the workforce, but these needs, our acceptance, our identity, our security, and our purpose, is intended by God to be met by God and by God alone. And it may be that as you come into this series in your own relationship, wherever it may be, that you discover, yes, there's some tools we need to get in the toolbox so that we can have a marriage that is built on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there may be some aspects of our relationship where we're constantly hitting some struggles or a ground of a strife and tension, simply because we are expecting a need to be met by our spouse that was never intended by God to have met by your spouse, but rather by Him. I don't care how amazing your husband is or how wonderful your wife is, they're not going to be able to do in your life what God intended He would do in your life. We cannot be a great husband and a terrible Christian. We cannot be an amazing wife and not a lady of God. There are some needs that God intended to meet in our life that only He can meet. And if we're going to have a great marriage, it will first and foremost begin with the dedication to be a great Christian. And I pray that this series stirs in our hearts a desire to read the Word of God more and pray more and be more fervent in our relationship with Him and more fervent in telling others about Him. Because if we're going to have great marriages, and we need great marriages, and if our children benefit from great marriages, then they certainly need that as well. It will be because they're founded upon the rock, and the rock is Christ, and because He is meeting the needs in our life that only He can meet. The Bible says in Psalms 125, 1, and I know I'm skipping some stuff I had in there. You can read those verses later. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. We want our faith and trust to be in God, His Word, His way, and we want to follow Him obediently along the way. Now, so we must find the rock. We need to make sure that our relationship is built upon Him. Then as we continue kind of in an introductory pattern here, and we come to this thought of marriage on the rock, there are a lot of marriages that are struggling today. We know that. There are some marriages who are not even making it today, maybe ending tragically in separation or divorce or something of this nature. And what's even sadder is that this was not God's intention. It was not God's intention for marriages to be miserable. It was not God's intention for marriages not to make it. God intended for marriage to be wonderful and to thrive and to honor and please Him. We read in Genesis 2 where God caused a deep sleep to be upon Adam in verse 21, and He took a rib and He closed the flesh instead thereof. From verse number 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. And God, after creating all things, puts Adam to sleep and takes a rib and makes Eve and brings Eve to Adam. There was a purpose here that God had intended in a relationship, and I'm thankful this morning, and I know you're thankful this morning, that God's purpose has never changed. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. And God's purpose is still the same in 2015. God's purpose is still the same beyond the decision of June 26th. God's purpose has not changed, and He desires for all of us who are in a marriage relationship to have a marriage that is built on the rock of Jesus Christ and in accordance to the Word of God. Now, it's no coincidence in our society today, as we've turned our back on the Word of God, that we've had difficulty in our relationships. So we'll hear some about that, even in Pastor's message this morning, and no doubt again tonight. So where we're going to launch from as we launch this series today, Genesis chapter 2, if you're there, and verse number 24. These two verses, the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, those verses are important for several reasons. Two, first, this is the initial recording of God speaking on the topic of marriage. Genesis chapter 2 is the first place we find that in the Word. And then secondly, there are four foundational laws that are given here in this short passage that we're going to use over the next couple of weeks to launch us into this series of building a marriage upon the rock. And that brings us to our topic today, the law of priority. The law of priority. Now, God's Word can be used in our lives to heal marriages. And there may be some marriages present this morning that are in need of some healing, and the Lord can do that. There may be some marriages that are here that they're doing quite well, but they could be doing better in some area, and God's no doubt can accomplish that as well. There may be some marriages not represented here this morning, maybe out of town for the 4th, or maybe needing an invitation from one of us to be our guest next Sunday that could benefit from this as well. And as we look at the law of priority, the first phrase in verse 24 of chapter 2, where the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now, when God designed the marriage covenant, He did so with this special commitment intended between the man and the woman, that they would leave and that they would then come together. He was emphasizing the fact that this relationship was more important than any other human relationship that they would have. And the Lord knew that this ingredient was pivotal if the relationship was going to thrive as He intended that it would. Now, the word leave in Genesis 2:24 is the Hebrew word azab, which literally means to loosen or to relinquish. So when God said that a man should leave his father and his mother when he married, He meant that he was to relinquish his highest earthly relational position from his father and mother or anyone else that may have had it, and then give it to his bride. And she was to give it to him and to return. And this is the commitment they were to give it one another. Very simply put, God intended that marriage would be the most important earthly relationship that anybody would have, second only to the relationship with their Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This relationship was to be a huge priority in their life. Now, what does that mean today, or how do we put that into context? Well, I want us to familiarize ourselves with the phrase legitimate jealousy. Legitimate jealousy. Imagine you and your spouse walking down the streets, or particularly maybe down a corridor in a mall or something, and enjoying some time together. And while you are doing that, someone comes up and begins to try to seduce your spouse away from you. No doubt that would begin to bring some emotion to you. No doubt I believe that would begin to foster a reaction from you. It might get very animated very quickly in your response and in your reaction, as I suppose that it should. But this is the emotion that you would get. It would be legitimate jealousy, and it would be that you are trying to protect what is rightfully yours. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines jealous as intolerant of rivalry or unfaithfulness. Intolerant of rivalry or unfaithfulness. You say, Brother Rule, I thought jealousy was wrong. Notice what the Bible says in Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. God has a distinct position he is to hold in your life and in mine. And whenever we put anything in his place, he's jealous of it. And that's, by the way, it's called idolatry. Whenever we put anything in the place of God, what's God's place? Colossians 1:18. He is to have preeminence in all things. God is to be number one all the time in everything. And when he is not, we have committed the sin of idolatry. We have put something in God's place. And the Bible says he is jealous for that place. He does not look kindly on anything that we would put in his place. For us to miss church tonight, for whatever reason, the Lord looks at that as, why would we not put him in that place of preeminence where he belongs? That's just a way to kind of bring it down to where we're living today. And so the Lord desires this, and we should desire this in our relationship as well. And so one of the greatest certainties is that there will be times in our relationship of marriage where we will feel this legitimate jealousy, this cycle where we feel like something is robbing us of the place in which we should hold in the life of our spouse. And I want us to look at that today as we look at this law of priority. And I want us, first of all, to think about the fact that maybe when we were dating or engaged or whatever, that we were meeting each other's needs, and we were sacrificing to do so. We were saying no to things that would compete with time with one another and so forth, so that we could have that time together. And we were really making our relationship a priority. And then we got married, and everything was supposed to be perfect from that day on, right? But number one, I want us to see this morning that problems do not end at the wedding. You say, Brother Rule, I didn't have to come here to know that. I already knew that. Problems do not end at the wedding. Now, all the way to the altar, a couple just naturally is highly prioritizing their relationship, and they're dating, or they're engaged, or they're falling in love, and their relationship is taking the place of lots of other things because it's so important to them. But then they get married and they begin to enjoy their relationship as husband and wife, and the temptation comes both to the husband and wife to begin to replace each other and the priority in which they should enjoy. For the husband, oftentimes it might be his career that he's chastening. For the lady, it might be her family or her home, and things begin to get shifted and some complaints begin to surface. It might sound something like from her, he works all the time, and when he gets home, he's just tired and he just wants to rest. And finally, when he gets time off, he just wants to do something with his buddies. And he might say, well, she doesn't even know when I'm home. She's so busy with the kids and the house, and anytime I want to be with her or be romantic, she's worn out or doesn't have time or the energy for me. And both spouses simply are saying this: I'm jealous of what has taken my place in our relationship. I feel violated by the fact that I no longer am where I once was in their eyes. And the error of this unfolding is thinking that this is natural. that basically this is what every marriage in this room is destined to go through. You're going to date and be engaged. You're going to get married. You're going to have the honeymoon season. It's going to be amazing. And then it's just kind of downhill from there till you die. And somewhere in our culture, that's kind of what people think. It just, this is kind of where it's at, and just kind of hang on and hope you can make it to the end. And there's just kind of this assumption that this is just kind of how it is, and now you're used to one another, and this is kind of what marriage has to offer, and we just hope you can kind of make it through. And there's a downward trend in our country today for a lowered standard of satisfaction in marriage. It's just kind of, well, it is what it is. I suppose we have to deal with it. But that's not the case. In fact, God designed for marriage to get better every day and every month and every year, to constantly and continually get better day by day according to the Lord's plans. And so most people are in a relationship that they're becoming less happy with, and God intends for us to becoming more satisfied with the relationship in which He has given. So God knows problems don't end at the wedding. Listen, a marriage is an imperfect union between an imperfect man and an imperfect woman. We know that marriage is going to have problems. By the very definition of bringing two imperfect people together and becoming one and enjoying all of life together, you're going to have some issues that arise because we're not perfect. My marriage is not perfect because I'm in it. And I'm going to make some mistakes, and I'm going to not do some things as I should, and I'm going to not say some things right, or whatever the case may be. That's going to happen, and God is well aware of that, but that doesn't mean that our marriages cannot thrive if they're built on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. So secondly, love begins with priorities. Love begins with priorities. If we will obey God's command that we read in Genesis 2, verse 24, and we will prioritize our lives to accommodate keeping our marriage a top priority, then it will work the way God intended for it to work. Now, there are three things we need to realize if we're going to do this. Letter A. List the most important priorities in your life in order of importance. Now, this may not be the way you're living right now, but I challenge everyone in this room, take some time over the next 6 days between now and our time together next Sunday, and write out your priorities by the list of importance. What's important? I think God should be at the top. I think that's pretty simple. I think your spouse should be second. If God's blessed you with children, I think they're a third. I think you're living for the Lord. You might call that ministry. You might call that whatever you want to call it. But I think that deserves a very high level in your priority. God divinely gifted you for a reason. Everyone in this room has a gift given to you by God. And God gave it to you for a purpose. And I just challenge you with this thought. Is God getting out of you what He intended when He gave you His gift? I'm not being mean, but I've been in the ministry long enough to know this. In a room this size, not everybody in the room even knows what the spiritual gift is. And by the way, I'll take some responsibility for that. Let's get together and let's figure out what your spiritual gift is. And then let's develop that spiritual gift, and then let's deploy it in getting something done for the glory of God. But that should be a higher priority. Your vocation. How are you going to support your family or do what God has called to do in this way? That should be a higher priority. Your friends and loved ones and so forth, that should be a higher priority. You should be on the list somewhere, low on the list, but you should be on there somewhere, and taking care of yourself and being a blessing to others and so forth. And so you want to have a list of things that are priority to you. And I want to challenge you in the development of that list. Make sure it's a biblical list. Make sure, I don't think we could come up with a list of priorities we're going to live by without praying about it. I don't think we can do that without seeking the counsel of the Word of God and maybe some godly counsel of some others that have developed a list of this nature or have a marriage that has sustained the test of time and so forth. Who can we glean from in the development of this in our relationships that we hold so dear? So we want to make sure we develop that list. And then, letter B, I want to challenge you. Prove these priorities in real ways. Prove these priorities in real ways. We talked about this in the family series a few weeks back. But a list of priorities on paper doesn't mean anything if they don't affect the way in which we live. We are really good at saying, this is what I believe, and here it is on paper, and it looks nice, and it might even be alliterated. But then when you study somebody's life, it doesn't match at all what's on the paper. There's a reason why there's a generation that doesn't follow after. And the reason for that is because they've heard so much and seen so little. We are in need of revival in America today of moms and dads who back up what they say. Let your walk talk louder than your talk. If God is number one, we shouldn't have to read it on a piece of paper. We should be able to know it by the way you live. The people in your home, the time you spend in the Word, the time you spend in prayer, just the different way you live than the others around you that do not know the Lord, your time in the house of God, the way you look forward to the house of God, the way you're not wanting to miss the house of God. We were on vacation last Sunday, but you know where I was last Sunday? In church. Why? Because that's where we go on Sundays. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There was no discussion on vacation. Well, we're going to go to church. We're on vacation. We always go to church. Amen. And we had a great time. And the pastor took us out after the morning service and we ate buffalo. It was awesome. And we had a great time. And we made a great memory. But anyway, and I got to preach there in Montana. We had a wonderful time. And the Lord blessed. But it was a privilege. And it was something that our children are just being reaffirmed every single day. These are some parties. Mom and Dad are not perfect. We make lots of mistakes. We'll look at them in the eye and say we're sorry. But there are some fundamental things we are just going to do because they're right to know what God told us to do. Prove these priorities in real ways. They've got to be seen in the way you live. Develop the list, but then study your life. Is my life affirming these beliefs in the hearts of my spouse and children? Then let us see. Prepare to protect those priorities the rest of your life. Prepare to protect those priorities the rest of your life. Listen, the development of priorities is important but simple. It really is when you think about it in a biblical context. The proving of them is much more difficult, and the protecting of them is a lifelong pursuit. You're going to have to always work at keeping them in place. We always have to shuffle some things, right? We get some stuff out of order. Man, my wife and I having a date. I can't remember. We got to get that back in order. Man, my kids, we're not on the same page. We got to get that back in order. And we're always kind of adjusting to get things where they should be, to keep the priorities in the way they should be, that we can live this law of priority we find in Genesis 2 and building our marriage upon the rock. The Bible says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. And we want to make sure that our love is being felt, yes, by our Heavenly Father and being obedient to Him, but by our spouse, by the way we're treating them, and our children, by the way we're treating them as well. For all the husbands here, our wives need to hear us say, I love you. That's important. But they're going to measure the depth of that love by what it is we're willing to say no to say yes to them. You see, when it comes to priorities, ladies often measure that in what are you willing to do without to be with me? What are you willing to say no to so that we do have the time together we should have? What are you willing to adjust so that we can have what God intended for us to have in our relationship? And that goes both ways. How are we making our spouse a priority? It's not just time. We probably spend more time sleeping than we do with our spouse. It's not just some of the other areas that we might think of. Well, it's money. You probably spend more on your mortgage or your rent than you do your spouse. And if not, then more power to you. But there's probably some things that we could not just say a blanket, boy, time or money or whatever. It's a combination of all that. But you know what it is in essence? It's importance. Does our spouse feel important to us? Are we treating them in a way that reveals we feel they're important? Are there some other things that are less important than them that have gotten in the way of where they should be? That's where the rubber meets the road. The law of priority. Has anything in my life taken the place of my spouse that I recognize this morning is against God? Something or someone has taken their place of priority. And our relationship is not on the rock of Jesus Christ because it is out of order. It is out of whack. It is not according to biblical priority. And I have to get my priority straight. And I have to prove them by the way I live. And then I have to protect them because Satan will do everything he can to get me off track, to get my priorities out of whack, and to get me away from what God intends for me to have. So where are we going for the next several weeks and months? Marriage on the rock. Now, what must we do? You got to find the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray you'll make that decision very soon. because it must be built on the Lord Jesus Christ. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And then the secret is doing it according to God's plan. And by way of introduction for the first couple of weeks, laying the groundwork, we're going to study Genesis 2, 24 and 25. And we're going to get these four laws down so that we have a foundation in which to build this marriage on the rock. And foundation number one is the law of priority. Is God number one and is our spouse most important to us, second only to our relationship with God? Has that been established? Are we proving it? And are we protecting it in the life in which we're living? Heavenly Father, we sure love you. And we thank you for some time together today in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us today to live by priority. Lord, may we be right with you. May you be number one in our life. And then as we study our earthly relationships, may we make our spouse our most important earthly relationship that you've given, second only to our relationship with you. And may that be established in our life because it's biblical. May it be proven by the way that we live. May we be able to ask ourselves this morning, has anyone or anything taken the place of my spouse in my life? Lord, help us to repent of that and get it right. And then help us to protect it. Oh, we may make that right today, but what about tomorrow? What about Tuesday? And then what about Wednesday? Every day, afresh and anew, we'll need to protect those priorities so that they will sustain, so that our marriages and families will thrive, so that we can give something to the next generation that is wholesome, biblical, and good. And Lord, I pray that you would begin that work in our hearts. Give us a desire for that in our class this morning and the weeks to come. I pray that you richly bless our families today and this week. Thank you for the independence that we celebrate in this country. Lord, we recognize this morning that freedom is not free. And Lord, help us to use it for your honor and glory in the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of some that are away and visiting and vacation and such. Lord, we pray your blessing upon them, bring them home safe. Then may all of us be here next Sunday, ready to go, fully engaged in this series, ready to learn how to build a marriage on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. I pray that you bless our class in Jesus' name. Amen.